here's what I want to say. I want to say this. Number one, I feel so privileged to be your pastor. And I want to tell you that we have the best staff in the world. I just love going to work every Monday morning. And the people I get to work with, I know that you're jealous. You can repent right now. But I'm so blessed. And we have such a great team. And we are here for you. I want you to really hear this, that we're here for you. And you know, people say this a lot, and it burdens my heart. They say, well, I know you're too busy to meet with me, or I know that you got... No, we are never, none of us are ever too busy for you. That's why we're here. That's why we have this job. We're here to serve this community. And so if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have concerns, please take time to make an appointment with us. We will clear our schedules, and we will meet with you. You know, somehow in life, these messages get propagated, and somehow, sometimes people think that it might be dishonoring to ask questions, but I don't think that's true at all. I think it's just the opposite. I think if you really want to take ownership in your church, then you have real questions about what's going on here, and we have nothing to hide. We'd love to talk to you about anything that goes on here. I'll tell you right now, we're not going to disclose people's salaries. That's personal. But we will talk to you about how we spend our money. We're not afraid to show you budget reports or anything you want to know. And we do. We have extreme financial accountability if you're concerned about that. But we'll show you how we're accountable. If you have questions about how we make decisions or how we pick leaders or how we do this or that, we're here. If you just have concerns or comments or vision about the future, please, we want to hear from you. And if another message ever got communicated to you, I'm sorry. This is what we want to tell you. We're here for you. So will you pray with me? God, we thank you for today. We thank you that, man, there's so many good things going on. There's so many blessings being poured out upon us. There's so many righteous people being elevated in their lives and blessed and moved and motivated. God, I just believe that you're positioning people in their lives to have greater influence in this culture, in this community, and in this city. And Lord, I'm asking today that you would just open our hearts and pour out your spirit into us in a fresh way that opens our minds and opens our hearts and allows us to step into a greater, deeper, more real relationship with you. And Lord, just deliver us from our fears and deliver us from the things of our past that would hold us back. And today we declare that there is victory in Jesus Christ, that there is nothing that can stop us from living the resurrection life. There's nothing that can stop us from living in the kingdom of God and all the full benefit and blessing that you have for us in your kingdom. And we pray and we proclaim and we declare these truths in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Announcements are over. I'm about to preach. All right. Romans 8:11, the first part of that verse in the New Living Translation says this: the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. We're going to start a new series today called Resurrection Life. And our first message is this: victory in Jesus. Now, I think we could have just done the altar call right after the offering. Papa, that's my father-in-law, if you didn't know. I call him Papa, but most of y'all call him Jim. We hadn't consulted on that, but that's what the Holy Spirit put on his heart. And we're going to be doing a series this whole month leading up to Easter and even following Easter Sunday, talking about the power of the resurrection. The Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you if you're a believer in Christ today. What are the possibilities in your life if that Holy Spirit literally lives inside of you? Oh my goodness! It might change the way we look at life. It might change the way we make decisions. It might change how we live our everyday lives. Too many Christians, I believe, settle for a mediocre life when we could experience the abundant life that Jesus promised. John 10:10 says, I came that you might have life and have life overflowing in abundance. we could experience victory in Jesus. Did you know that all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, we see God's promise of victory? He promises a victorious life for all who surrender to him as Lord. Now, there's a real key phrase here before I go on. To all who surrender to him as Lord. We talked about this last week, and if you've never given your life to Christ, you don't know what I'm talking about. But we talked about very clearly last week in our baptism service that if we want a relationship with Jesus, we first have to confess that we're sinners, believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus took the penalty of our sin, and then confess, believe, and then surrender our lives completely to let him be in control. Because the interesting thing about God is he is God Almighty. All power rests in God alone. But yet, the way he created us, you get to be in charge of your life. Think about that for a minute. The omnipotent God of the universe who spoke with words and created worlds and planets and even universes, by the very word of his mouth, has allowed us to have a measure of control in our own lives. It's called the free will of men. We get to choose. As God, though, offers himself freely to us through the finished and complete work of the cross, through what Jesus did that we said still testifies today, the blood that was shed upon the tree still says, it is finished, your sins are forgiven. Still says, it is finished, you're healed and delivered. Your fears can be erased. It still testifies to us today that Jesus Christ came to the earth and gave us what we could not purchase for ourselves. Freedom, forgiveness, life eternal. These are freely given to us, but no one in heaven or on earth is going to force Jesus upon you. You get the right to choose. But then when we read the New Testament, if we're honest about how Jesus presented his gospel, he didn't say, come and follow me, and then you'll have options later. He didn't say this is multiple choice. Follow me today, do your own thing tomorrow, or do a combination of both. It's either you surrender to me and come and do life under my leadership and lordship, and then you receive all the benefit of who I am, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation, all the things that we know are the truths of Scripture, or you do your own thing. And too many people in the church today want to have the blessing of God without a full surrender to Jesus as Lord. It doesn't work that way. That's why there's so many confused, almost bipolar Christians. I mean, spiritually bipolar, like, I don't know if God loves me or if God hates me. I don't know. You know why you don't know? Because you are not surrendered to Jesus. This isn't just a one-time. You just come up, you walk up here to the front, and you give your life to Christ, and you go back to doing life. No. It's a surrender. Yeah. And if you understand English, you don't even have to know Greek. If you understand English, the word Lord means master. The one who's in control. Now, surrendering your life to Jesus doesn't mean you automatically become perfect and make no mistakes from then on. It doesn't mean that. But what it means is you're surrendered. When you do fail or rebel, when you recognize it, because it won't take long if you're really surrendered, it doesn't take long to know. The Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, that's going off course, and you can repent and come back on course. It doesn't say you're perfect, but it does say you're surrendered. So everything else I have to preach today only works for those who are surrendered. Now, this will be a very inspirational message. I am so excited about it. Victory in Jesus. Oh, victory in Jesus. I'll stop. On the last. No, I'm just. Psalm 98 verse 1 says this, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained," say it with me, "victory for him." Who's his right hand? Who sits at the right hand of God Almighty? Jesus. So his right hand and his right arm have gained victory for him. Then you see in the New Testament, John 16, 33, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me," Jesus speaking, "you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." 2 Corinthians 2, 14 states the same truth, "But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place." Victory, overcoming, triumph. This is the life of a surrendered believer. Because we think surrender means I give up and I'm somehow lorded over now. I'm under something. No, the surrender to Jesus means you're under his lordship, but his lordship doesn't bear down on you. It comes under you and lifts you up. Leads you to victory. Helps you overcome. Gives you triumph in this life. Wow. It's all free. You don't have to pay for it. All Jesus asks is your surrender. Let's look at that word triumph. A great or important victory. A success or achievement. A very happy and joyful feeling that comes from victory or success. I felt a little bit of that last night. I don't know Mr. Mooney, but I sure was proud of what he had to say on TV. Yes. To God be the glory. Yes. I don't know Coach Beard, but I didn't see champagne popped in the locker room. I saw kneeling down and praying and giving thanks to God. Wow! Now, whatever they decide to do with their lives, that's their deal. But here's what I want to say. Victory in Jesus is real. Victory in this life is possible. In a room this large and this many people today, some of you feel like you're not experiencing victory in Jesus. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're depressed. Maybe you're overwhelmed with financial difficulties. Maybe you have broken relationships. Maybe you have sickness in your body and you're saying, "Where is this victory for me?" All I can tell you is this: you will never be disappointed when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. When we surrender to him, we don't find, the Bible's clear, two different places, I don't have the references right now, but it says clearly, when you put your hope in him, you will never be disappointed. So here's an idea you can go home with. I can live victoriously in Christ. Here's another Old Testament truth, Deuteronomy 20, verse 1. When you go out to battle against your enemies, and you see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid. Now let me pause right here. This was talking about a natural war. What this would be translated to for us today would be a spiritual war, like we talked about during the offering time. So don't get distracted with the physical nature of this. Understand your enemies are spiritual. For the Lord your God who brought you up from the land of Egypt, what does Egypt mean? Captivity to sin. The Lord is with you. Verse 2, when you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to the people, "Hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you." I just want to ask you right now, are you aware of any enemies in your life? Nobody? Yeah. couple of people. Think about those forces that are opposing you. And apply this truth to them. This doesn't say anything about your effort. It doesn't say anything about your performance. It only says, remember that the Lord will fight for you. Remember that the Lord will save you and he will destroy your enemies on your behalf. Wow. Declare the victory that Jesus has over whatever the enemy is that's intimidating you today. Do you know that the New Testament speaks of Satan in these terms in the book of Peter? It says Satan is like a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. That's a lot of bark and not a lot of bite. Do you know what the enemy has on true believers? Nothing. He knows he's defeated in your life. So what does he try to do to you? He tries to whisper lies in your ear. He tries to get you to believe falsehoods. He tries to get you to get discouraged and to think God's really not working on my behalf. And see, you're still in control of your life. So when you believe the lie that the enemy whispers in your ear, then you give him ground in your present situation. And then if you're not careful, he will pounce on you like a roaring lion. But he doesn't have the right to because Jesus defeated him on the cross. If you're a true believer today, you don't have to worry about Satan. You need to stand firm. But if you don't fill your mind and heart with these words, See, I used to hear that sound a lot in church because people were flipping through their Bibles, but now it's just all on your phone or on the screen. How many of these do you ever flip through here and read this thing? See, if you want to know what the truth is, you need to know what this says. And when the enemy brings a lie, you'll say, no, it is written. But if you don't know the word, you're easy prey for that poser, Satan, who wants to look like a lion. He's not really a lion. He's been defanged, declawed. He's a domesticated cat on a chain. But we act like, I'm not saying that Satan doesn't have power in his domain on the earth, but not over you if you're a believer. But the problem is believers don't know what they're believing in. So they can't speak. See, this is why I say to you, declare to your enemy that Jesus Christ is victorious over him. Declare to yourself, the Lord will save me. He will not leave me alone. He will not let me be the prey of the enemy. Hebrews 2:14 says this, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, Jesus, likewise also partook of the same. Well, he became flesh and blood, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil. The enemy is powerless. I can live victoriously in Christ. But if I don't know the truth of Hebrews 2:14, when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, I won't understand that Jesus has already defeated him. He rendered him powerless through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. See, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, baby. Now, most of us had a law-abiding celebration over the victory last night. Most of us. There were a few crazies, and we'll just forgive them. But for most of us, man, we're jumping up and down. Ah! got our guns up. We're going to the championship. When's the last time you got that excited about Jesus? I mean, there's more unity in West Texas right now than there has been in a long time. And it's all over Red and Black Attack, Wreck'em Tech. Do you know that in 10 years, nobody except sports geeks will remember who wins this next game on Monday night? Nobody. Even Tech fans will go, yeah, we won the championship, maybe back. We made it to the Final Four. What year was that? Because it really has no relevance to your real life. I mean, right, I'm not after it. I love it. I'm a sports fanatic. I could, like, intravenously take ESPN all day long. I love it. I have to repent because I like it so much. I'm all about it. You don't even understand. My wife is like, could you turn that off? I mean, but it's a real gut check for a lot of us. I'm so excited about this. I'm so pumped up about this. When I have victory in Jesus every minute. Whoa. What would your living room look like if you were believing that every day? What? I can't remember who told me they literally punched a hole in their ceiling because they jumped up. Wah! So let's ask a real question. How do we begin to experience this victory that Jesus offers? How do we do that? How do we begin to experience the victory in Jesus? Well, we've talked about it already a little bit. A full surrender. Surrender your life completely to Jesus as Lord. And even those of you who say, well, I am surrendered, you need to revisit that. Because there's probably some area that you're still wanting to hang on to. Okay, God, this is mine, and this 99% is yours. Isn't that good enough? And he's like, no, I want it all. And then believe that you have a new nature. I know there's a dichotomy. There's a pressure within you. There's some kind of conflict between the old and the new. As long as we're on this planet, there'll be a little bit of the old that tries to pull you back. That old way of thinking, that old way of living, that old way of feeling. But the more that we surrender to Jesus and put the truth of what he says about us in, the further that past gets away from us and the less it has a grip on our present. It is a process. You're instantly forgiven. You're instantly right with God. But your mind being renewed is a continual process. That's why I recommend this resource. It says, Who I Am in Christ. If you don't have one, they're back at the back table. They're out at the Connection Center. Grab one. Take another one if you have one. Put it everywhere you walk into. Put it in your car. Put it in your bathroom. Put it in your living room. Because there's about 60 or 70 easy to understand scriptures that tell us who we really are. See, we're forgetful people. We're the victorious children of God, and we think we're the losers of the planet. We forget so easily, so quickly. So you need to be renewing your mind with the truth. Over and over and over. And this makes it easy. It takes from the scripture. There's all the references. You can go look them up yourself. I highly recommend this. Pray daily over these truths. Maybe you could pick one every morning and pray over it and say, God, help me to fully comprehend and understand this one right here that says, I am holy, without blemish, and free from accusation. Wouldn't that be a good one to get lodged in here? And in here, I am holy, I'm free from blemish, whew. I'm free from accusation. Do you know your worst enemy is not the devil? It's not the people in your life, it's you. You know why it's you? Because you still believe lies about yourself. Maybe today you could step into victory if you just put some of those lies on the altar. What are the things that you're plagued with? The negative thoughts, the hurtful feelings, the pain of the past that keeps dragging you down. Jesus can set you free from those today. So I can live victoriously in Christ. What a refreshing thought. What a beautiful future that lies before me. I can live victoriously in Christ. We're going to end today with this scripture, Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice. Let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. What mountain stands in front of you today? What if we really believed that inviting and experiencing the presence of God in front of that mountain had the power to make it melt away? What's your mountain today? What's your fear today? What's your enemy today? What is opposing you? What's holding you back? What's trying to pin you down? Invite the presence of the Lord into that place and find victory in Jesus. Will you stand with me? I'm going to invite our prayer team to come forward right now. And as Becca leads us in a song to dismiss, I want to invite you to the victory celebration. The championship's already been won. The trophy's already in the case. Score's already recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Victory in Jesus belongs to you. What is it today that's trying to tell you otherwise? I invite you to come, bring it to the altar, and allow these fine people who love you and will warmly welcome you right here to pray with you and to help you find freedom from the things that are trying to discourage you today. Will you pray with me? God, I lift my hand to you and I lift my heart to you in full surrender. God, I say on behalf of us, as your children, we surrender fully. Even if it doesn't fully make sense, we surrender. Even if it doesn't feel like we should, we surrender, Jesus, once again today. With our hands lifted and our hearts yielded, we surrender to you. And in this place, God, of full surrender, I know that you will expose the enemy and bring victory to your children. In Jesus' name. Amen. There's victory in Jesus. I hope that you won't walk out that door without getting some. In Jesus' name. I love you guys.